Shabbat Shalom. This morning, Lord willing, we will be covering two parables of Messiah Yeshua, the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge, and then the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now, both of these parables have powerful lessons on justice and mercy and really following the Lord's standard and not our own. They are convicting parables that probe our hearts about what we truly believe in. Now, our first parable for this morning is a parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge found in Luke 18, 1 through 8. Through this parable, Messiah Yeshua teaches us the importance of being constant in prayer and not giving up. We begin with verse 1. Then Yeshua told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" Now, the first verse helpfully explains the purpose of this parable. We should not give up praying when prayers are not answered as quickly as we want them to be. And I think this issue can sometimes come from a lack of patience. And I confess, patience is something I struggle with. I don't like to wait to do things, and I do not like waiting for prayers to be answered. Whether it's something serious, like praying for someone ill, or just praying to make it somewhere on time, I am hoping for immediate results. You know, outside our community, this is true as well. We live in a time of very instant gratification, with everything getting faster and faster constantly. We expect things to happen immediately, and if they don't, we get upset. Every time a computer or phone freezes, or we must wait in line or traffic, we tend to get irritated. You know, I remember when I was younger, it took, you know, minutes to get on the internet. You know, when it was dial up and you hear the nasty noise of the modem, the noise, you'd have to sit there patiently for a few minutes and you were used to it. Now, if my browser does not open up immediately within like a split second, I get irritated. But there are also bigger issues that could cause us to give up. We hopefully pray daily for a variety of situations, and as a congregation, we pray together as well, like we've done this morning. However, not all of those prayers may get answered. Many times, it could seem like nothing is changing, or that things just seem to be getting worse. We're praying and praying as the walls fall around us. I kind of feel a little bit like that right now with all this stuff going on in the news today. You know, it's possible for us to despair in those moments, to believe the adversary and assume it's all pointless. Why bother praying if we're not getting these immediate results, or we feel like we're not getting results at all? And then we give up. We slide away. It's very sad. We can allow grief, anger, impatience, or many other emotions to overwhelm us and stop us from praying and being faithful to the Lord. You know, as disciples of Messiah Yeshua, we are called to be constant in prayer. Even if we do not immediately see an answer to our prayers, we need to keep praying. Even if we are suffering and seeing darkness all around us, we should not stop crying out to our Heavenly Father. With the Lord's Spirit, we can overcome whatever situations we are in and keep our hope in the Lord despite our present suffering. And to help us understand this, Messiah Yeshua tells us this story, this parable. There is a clear contrast between the poor, faithful widow and the faithless judge. Faithfully, she respectfully came before him to ask for justice in her life. We're not told what the situation is because it's about their character and the process of their interaction that the focus is on here. Each time she was denied, but she did not give up. We are not told how long she was persistent in her pleas, and I believe that is intentional. It's not about the amount of time we spend, but the character of our actions. And so finally, after an unknown number of pleas, something changed. We read in verse 4, "For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. Now, we should definitely understand it'd be hyperbole. I don't think he was worried that the widow was going to come at him with a knife or something, but it's the idea that she was basically going to nag him to death, that she was constantly going before him, and he finally got fed up with it. It's the idea of she was persistent and she did not give up, again, in a respectful way. But this unjust judge is only concerned about one person, himself. He does not care about this widow's issues, just how her actions have and might affect him. He does not care about God, fairness, or goodness either. He's not a very good judge. He just selfishly thinks about himself. Now, clearly the widow is who we are to be like, and the judge who is we are to avoid acting like. Unfortunately, there are many judges and leaders today who act in a similar way to this man. They care only about how to enrich themselves and have no compassion for those in need. You know, if this woman was rich or influential, then probably this judge would have been more willing to help her. She came from high society. But we can see the character of a person not in how they treat their friends or those equal in station to them, but how they treat those with less than them. How we treat the poor and vulnerable reveals the true nature of our souls. Now, fortunately, thanks be to God, we do not come before a judge like this man, but someone much more wonderful. Messiah Yeshua continues with explaining to us how the true judge operates. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Unlike this unjust judge, the true judge of all cares for us deeply. He cares about justice and shows mercy to those who are his disciples. Justice will be done, but it is based on Adonai's timetable and standard, and not our own. As we read in his word about the great day of the Lord, justice and judgment on that day will happen quickly. We know that the Lord is completely faithful to his promises, and whatever he sets out to do happens. If even an unjust judge eventually does what is right, then how much more will the Lord carry out his justice, and how much more quickly? Kal vachomer, from light to heavy, a very rabbinic phrase. The quickly, though, in this passage has been an issue for many who read it. Every generation, starting with the apostles, prayed and hoped for Messiah Yeshua's return in their lifetime. And until now, we still wait. We pray that speedily and soon he will return. And while we hope we will live to see it, this parable reminds us not to give up. We are called to be alert and ready for his return. But Yeshua's question at the end of this parable is a sobering reminder that faithfulness requires diligence. If the Lord returned right now, this very moment, how many would he find faithfully waiting? Would he find us faithfully waiting like the widow, or absorbed in ourselves like the judge? As we wrap up our time in this parable this morning, let me make one final point. This parable convicts us to restore our faithfulness to Adonai if it has waned. If we have become sidetracked by the world around us, we need to get off that path very, very soon. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn back to Adonai. Therefore, we need to cry out to the Lord in prayer and ask him to give us lasting faithfulness, grounded in his word. If we do, then when the Lord returns and brings about his justice, we will find ourselves vindicated like this widow, instead of being punished with those like the judge. As we turn our attention to our next parable this morning, we will see in a different way how our selfish desires can rob us of our faithfulness. Our second parable is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. We find the parable in Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Now, this teaching has had many different interpretations over the centuries. Some have seen it as a picture of God's grace and the gift of salvation. Others have read this parable as a commentary on different economic systems, such as capitalism or communism. Still others see this as a teaching against the Jewish Pharisees. But I believe that the true meaning of this parable is to stand against envy and desire among Messiah's community of disciples. And so before we look at Matthew 20, I want to first discuss Matthew 19 for some context. Now, towards the end of Matthew 19, we are told a story about a rich religious man who came before Messiah Yeshua to ask what he should do to obtain eternal life. After being told to keep the commandments, Rabbi Yeshua invited him to become one of his Talmudim, his disciple, and receive treasure in heaven. What a wonderful opportunity to become one of his disciples. There was just one thing he needed to do first: sell his riches to the poor. And after that, we read that the rich man, presented with the opportunity to stand under the Messiah himself, left disappointed because he could not bear to part with his riches. After the man leaves, Messiah Yeshua comments to his disciples that it is harder for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so after seeing this and hearing Messiah's teaching, the disciples are shocked and they doubt anybody can be saved. That's what Peter says. Who can be saved, Lord? And Messiah Yeshua answers that it's impossible in our own power, but he affirms that in God, all things are possible. And Peter reminds him that they've left everything to follow Yeshua and asks what their reward will be. Towards the end of chapter 20, we see this sort of discussion of station as well comes right back up. Ask what the reward will be. Our Lord replies that they will rule on thrones in heaven with him forever. And we, included, are also promised that for everything we have sacrificed for the Lord in this life, we will receive back 100 times more in the next, along with eternal life. Notice that the 100 times more isn't in this life, it's in the next. Just a note here for those who are prosperity gospel preachers who like to misuse and abuse that verse. But we'll go on. That's a sermon for another day. Matthew 19 ends with a verse we will see repeated in our parable today: that many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. We will unpack the meaning of this interesting verse in a little bit. But as we read Matthew 20, I want us to keep in mind that Yeshua is talking to his followers, and that we can see that his disciples are struggling with the sacrifices they have made along the way, and also struggling with envy. We begin in Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. The kingdom of heaven refers to God's kingdom. The landowner here is clearly God. According to Kyle Snodgrass's excellent commentary on the parables, Stories with Intent, highly recommend it. Great for background information. But he helpfully explains that a denarius for a day's wage was normal for day workers during this time. But this is not a very large sum of money. You know, day workers, day laborers were some of the most impoverished people in the ancient world. And it still is today here. And they were to be paid daily for their work because of it. In fact, the Lord commanded that these workers be paid daily in Deuteronomy 24 because of their extreme poverty. We continue with Messiah's story. Verse 3, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Now, it was common during this time to go out and hire day laborers in this way, but to repeatedly go out is probably exaggerated for the sake of the parable. Most landowners know how many workers they're going to need in a day, would not be taking trip after trip after trip to find more. We read in verse 8, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, but beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.'" Now, clearly, this is not the normal way to pay people. The last are being paid first. Those who started earlier getting paid, those who started later getting paid before those who started earlier. But we see that this unusual order of paying is important to the end of this story and the point Yeshua is trying to make. We continue on, verse 9. "The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We expect, like the workers, that the owner will pay them proportional to the work they have done. The ones who worked for the entire day feel they deserve the entire denarius, and they believe those who worked less deserve less. They are clearly upset, upset enough even to speak out against the landowner. You know, you don't want to speak out against the guy who might hire you tomorrow to do work, especially if you're deeply impoverished, but they're clearly upset." Now, many people have read these verses and come away with different views on economic systems. They try to like match this up with different economic systems. They're interested in how this parable comments on ideas found in communism, socialism, capitalism, all the rest. But I do not believe we should be reading this parable to figure out how to structure our economies. The point of this parable is found in the attitudes of the workers as we continue. In verse 13, we read, "But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." You know, as we reflect on this teaching, the first thing that stands out to me is the attitude of the workers. They have what we call an envious eye or an evil eye. This isn't about, you know, Kabbalah stuff here, but it's just a Jewish way to refer to someone desiring what someone else has. The idea is that your eyes are looking at what they have very enviously in an evil way. The earlier workers are looking at the wages of those who started later and are deeply envious over them getting the same wages for way less work. The landowner is correct in saying he has given to each worker, though, what he has promised, and they agree to. It is his money to spend how he wishes, and they cannot control him. If he wants to be generous with those who are poor, why should they care? But they are human, like us, and we care a lot about what other people receive. If two people in identical circumstances do the same kind of work, we believe they should be paid the same. If everything is equal, doing the same work, same education level, et cetera, equal pay for equal work. But we also tend to believe the opposite is true, that two people who do unequal work deserve unequal pay, like in this parable. This is the principle of justice and fairness behind the workers who grumble to the landowner. But consider this. If the landowner had given those workers who worked later less, they would have become even more impoverished without having enough to live on. Where does mercy factor into our calculations? The grumbling workers knew how badly everyone needed their pay. They're in the same bracket as them. They know better than anybody how far a denarius can go and how serious it was to receive one for them. But they let envy harden their hearts. The fact is, no one was harmed by the owner being more generous. Everyone received the minimum they deserved, just some received more. You know, if the owner had decided to give them all 3 denarius, would things still have been unfair? Or would everyone receiving more than they deserved be enough to stop the grumbling? I think for some, they would have been satisfied if everyone had received more, but still others would have complained. You know, as fallen human beings, we always tend to want just a little bit more, especially more than those around us we are comparing ourselves to and think we deserve more than. The fact is, a lot of what we call justice is really just window dressing for envy and jealousy. When we see good things happen to others, maybe in real life or on Facebook, we get these tinges of jealousy and anger. You know, psychological studies have shown the longer we spend online looking at the lives of others on social media, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, the worse it is for our mental health, whether it is stuff, wages, or just our general lives, we tend to compare it to others and then feel upset if they have more than us. You know, we can also see this comparison in how we treat those who make minimum wage, a wage that has not increased nationally, although it changes in different states, since 2009. In many cases, those who are poor are stereotyped as lazy or stupid or that they deserve it and looked down upon based on what they earn. Now, I'm very aware the issues around raising the minimum wage are complex, and that's not the argument I'm trying to make here. I have an accounting degree. I've studied some economics. I know a couple things about a couple things here. But my point is that one emotional reason against a minimum wage increase is how people who make a higher wage would feel if that was much closer to the minimum wage. You know, when discussing raising the minimum wage to a so-called living wage of $15, that's like a popular platform in America right now, I have heard many people speak about these issues from a place of jealousy and envy. There's lots of good arguments for and against, you're talking about economics, but underneath that and alongside that even, there's this undercurrent sometimes of jealousy and envy. It's hard for us to see other people receiving great generosity if there is not a little for us too. If this parable is directed towards the Lord's followers, and I believe it is, then the lesson we are being taught here is to not be too preoccupied with what other people are receiving from the Lord. Remember, the Lord is the landowner here. We shouldn't be telling God who he should be generous to and when. You know, unlike that rich man in Matthew 19, the Lord shows his goodness in how generously he gives to us. But we should not be concerned about how much we are given compared to someone else or their position in the kingdom of God. We know from this parable and elsewhere that the Lord will richly bless us for the work we do for him, but it will be based on his standards and not our own. The Lord is a God of justice, but his justice is not flawed like ours. We saw that in the previous parable. He perfectly judges all and hears the pleas of those who are vulnerable like a widow. Adonai is also a God of compassion and a God of mercy. In the landowner's generosity, we see justice as well as mercy and compassion. He fairly and honestly rewards his workers for their hard work, but also provides enough for those who are most in need. Everyone has been paid not based on their amount of work, but given enough that they may live, which is honestly more important. The Lord does as he will, and we are not in a place to question it, especially not from a place of envy or jealousy. You know, as Messiah's community, we need to be different than the envy and jealousy found in the world around us and the selfishness that surrounds us every day, the self-centeredness. Just go on Instagram for 3 minutes. We need to be more concerned about building one another up and not tearing each other down. There are no second-class citizens in the Lord's kingdom, and we have the promise of rich rewards for us as we store our treasures in heaven and not on earth. We should not be envious when people are blessed, and we should not obsess over making sure we receive what we believe is our quote-unquote fair share. Instead, we should be more like the Lord, the good landowner. We should look for opportunities to use our resources to bless others and be more focused on the needs of others than ourselves. Finally, Messiah Yeshua taught us that the last will be first and the first will be last. It's a great phrase. In Matthew 19, the rich man may be first in the world because of his position, but he will be more like last in God's kingdom because he was unwilling to sacrifice for Messiah Yeshua. In contrast, the disciples may have been last in the world because of their status. They were blue-collar guys. But they will be first in God's kingdom because of how much they have given up for the Lord. In this parable, we see the surprise of the workers when the first are literally last and the last to work are literally first to be paid. Their surprise will be ours, I think, when we get to heaven. We'll be surprised by who we see there and who we don't. The Lord's value system is very different than our own human one. Many who are despised by this world for their faith in Messiah Yeshua will be greatly rewarded in heaven. Many who spend their time earning rewards here will have very little reward in heaven. May we be last in the world's eyes if it means being first in the Lord's. Both the parable of the persistent widow and unjust judge and the parable of the workers in the vineyard teach us the importance of justice and compassion. They also teach us the importance of acting based on the Lord's standard and not our own. We live in a world where we are always having to go against the flow of wickedness, corruption, sinfulness, selfishness, envy, and jealousy that is trying to sweep us away. It is only through understanding the Lord's standard of living and being filled with His Spirit that we can push forward against these dark currents and faithfully reach the shores of heaven. As we examine our lives and attitudes, it is my prayer that we look a bit different than the dark world around us. That as we navigate issues of justice and mercy, of being generous and sacrificing, or being faithful in prayer, we would shine with the light and character of our wonderful Messiah. May the Lord enable us to have generous hearts and to have our eyes fixed on Him and not other people. May each of us have a faithfulness that cannot be extinguished and that endures in the face of darkness and suffering. Finally, on the glorious day we are brought together with the Lord, may each of us be first in His kingdom and not last. Each of us enjoying the precious treasure of eternal life with Him and all those wonderful treasures that He has prepared for us as we live forever with Him. Thank you and Shabbat Shalom.